Hi, guys, and welcome to another episode of the Meet Medic podcast. Now, in today's episode, I have returning guest Tracy McBeath. Thank you very much for joining me on the Meet Medic podcast again, Tracy.
Oh, thanks, Suresh, for inviting me to come and chat with you again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Always, always a pleasure. Now, Tracy is a returning guest. We had her back on the show episode 28, which seemed like an eternity ago. It was probably about a year ago, actually, I imagine. And we spoke about quite a lot. We spoke about kids and we spoke about budget, carnivore, how to stretch that budget and so on. We spoke about so many good things on that show. But in today's episode, I wanted to maybe focus a little bit more, Tracy, on your upcoming conference, which I am presenting at, Lived Experiences in Health and Healing. I've got it up on the screen now for people, which I want to talk a little bit about why, you know, you're putting this together. What is it all about? All these amazing speakers, you know, hopefully myself included in that. And just why you're so keen to teach and kind of spread this message and help to try and educate people and just, you know, to be healthier, basically.
Yeah. Well, firstly, thanks for inviting me to talk about it. And thanks for being a part of the conference as well. It's the first time I've organized something like this in person. I have done about 4 online, you know, events, which I've loved, and essentially built relationships with so many incredible people like yourself who are doing amazing work in the, well, not just the low carb space. I mean, predominantly it's the metabolic health space, but doing amazing work to really give people hope and show people that there is another way, that there is more that they can find out in terms of how to be healthy in the modern world and really to go on and live the life that they want. I'm a metabolic health coach primarily, and that was because I, at 40, 10 years ago, gosh, nearly 11 years ago now, got diagnosed with prediabetes and fatty liver, and I didn't understand why because I was following, you know, all the advice that I was told. So essentially my journey in that, but in many other ways, has been turning my back on all the things that I thought and in all the things I believed and having to really step into my own truth. And that's what I help people to do. And that's what I want, I guess, people to see around that we kind of get told one way to live our life. And a lot of us kind of grow up thinking that that's the only way. And if that works for you, fantastic. You know, I would never say to anyone or judge anyone for the way they're choosing to live their life. But what I want to do is show people that if what they're doing isn't working, if they know there's another way but they don't know what it is or they don't know how to do it, that's where I come in. And I am so passionate about it. I mean, metabolic health or, you know, a good health, same thing. You know, if we don't have good metabolic health, we can't have the energy we need to live, and we certainly won't be thriving. And without that, then nothing else really matters. You know, we might have all the goals in the world. We might want to do all the things we want to do in life. But if we don't have that fundamental energy system, we're always going to feel like we're lacking in energy to do things that we want. So to me, they come hand in hand. So the people that I've asked to be a part of this, you know, have jumped at the opportunity, which I'm so humbled about, because all of these people, including yourself, you know, just give so much to others and just really want to show them that there is another way and help them to step into that. And lived experiences is so important to me, because I see so many people talking from a place of, I suppose, just science, or a place of just some, not perfection, that's not the right word, but just this kind of place that, it, to me, doesn't come from lived experience. Because when you're in the trenches and you're helping people actually change their life, we know it's difficult. We know that there are many barriers to that. And that's what I want people to see, that with listening to people's lived experiences, we then can hopefully step back and say, hey, well, you know, that might work in my life. And if I can see that Tracy's done that or Suresh has done that, then there is hope for me as well.
Yeah, I think it's very different when, you know, you've been through it yourself. And I think, you know, myself, certainly I can speak for myself, of course, can't speak for everyone, but everybody that I know that works in outside of that kind of mainstream, just give everyone statins, you know, kind of model, has their own story, like has their own health story, or someone extremely close to them. Almost always, it's their own health story, and they've woken up and they've seen the light. And I think that is just so powerful. And there is good evidence to support this as well. This isn't just anecdote. There is good evidence to support that when doctors and I'm sure other healthcare practitioners as well, when they share, you know, their own personal kind of story in a way, you know, appropriately share with the patient, that actually the patients do better. They're more likely to follow that advice, because I guess it's that thing of like, you know, well, you're kind of one of us, and you've been there, you've done that, you've come through the other side. And I know I've certainly spoke about my sugar addiction in the past numerous times, which I think I'm probably about there in terms of curing it. I can eat some sugar now, which I know is a terrible word, but I can without kind of going crazy on it now. But I think, yeah, my journey with that has been a long, you know, long, hard road. But yeah, I mean, I think the speakers, if I bring them up here, I mean, the people who are speaking on this are just absolutely amazing. So much experience in this kind of group, and so many just varied, you know, topics as well, you know, down to the agenda. It's just, there's so much stuff. I'm really excited to go myself, not just to be presenting, but to actually learn as well. I'm going to be talking about navigating fad diets. That's certainly something that I have a lot of experience with myself personally. And tickets are still available if anybody wants. I'll put links in the episode description, of course. You mentioned a couple of things there though, Tracy. You said that you know, kind of metabolic health is health. I would agree entirely. Absolutely agree. And you used the word thriving as well. And that's maybe a good segue into talking a little bit about your kind of latest venture, which is this Art of Thriving group, if you're happy to talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I get to that, I just wanted to say something on you, what you said there around how, you know, when we do share a little bit of our lived experience, you know, people do resonate with that and connect with us. And I think it is true, because what we're saying is we're human too, because there's such a perception that, you know, we put people up on pedestals, and certainly social media tends to portray this perfection ideal. And, you know, I know that we can sit in a place of looking at that and thinking, well, I'm not that perfect. I can't do it that well. So there's something wrong with me. So I think when we do hear people say, you know, and that's certainly what I do, you know, with my clients, is getting them to see that it's perfection is made up, number one. But it is about living, and it's about being able to thrive. So, you know, bringing, I guess, then into the group that I run, it's not really new. It's been going for nearly 2 years. It's a long-term membership group, and I started that. I mean, I obviously started just one-on-ones for years first before I started the group, but I started that because I've seen that the process of change is a long-term thing. And you know, that so many people are just surviving, right? That surviving to me was not enough. You're just surviving. You're getting through each day. There's nothing kind of nothing thriving in the way that they're living their life. And to thrive, you know, there's so many different puzzle pieces that we need to address. So yes, metabolic health, that foundation. So that comes from lifestyle pillars around what we eat, getting our metabolic, you know, energy working for us. And that can be very nuanced, and that can take a little bit of time, because I truly believe that how it works for you and how it works, you know, for others is individual. So there's that aspect of it. But then there's also other, you know, pillars in terms of how we move, in terms of how we think, in terms of the state of mind that we sit in. You know, I talk often about how I love doing these metabolic biohacking things. You know, like I do my cold plunges, I go to saunas, I certainly train, I eat well. I do these things because that's kindness to me. That's looking after myself. But if we do those things from a place of fear, from a place of lack, and, you know, we can be sitting in an ice bath and relishing the experience, or we can be sitting in it going, you know, thinking about something else or berating ourselves or doing it because we're punishing ourselves. Exercise is a great example of that, right? Do we choose to move our body because it's a gift and because we're fueling ourselves with love and kindness, or are we doing it because we've eaten something crappy the day before and we need to punish ourselves? A lot of that stuff is subconscious, And I get my clients to get that, bring that to their consciousness so they can step over it and then start choosing to thrive. We have to choose to thrive. I really believe that we do. It's there's so many things in the modern world that just take us away from that. And unless we wake up to that and make a choice to kind of turn our back on it, I think it can be really, really difficult. So that's why I have a long-term group. And people come and go. It's really interesting. And they don't come back because they're lacking. They come back because they choose to come back and they know there's something more for them to see or they want to see more. A lot of the conversations we have are around, not around food. They're around the mindset and the mind and understanding how it works, understanding thought, understanding what's beneath all the stories that we tend to have about our self-worth or our lack, and really breaking through all of that to thrive.
Yeah. I mean, you certainly said some things that resonated with me there around, you know, exercise, people sometimes treating it like a punishment. And I think I've been guilty of that in the past. Now, yeah, I very much treat exercise as an optional, but as a benefit, you know, as something that I actually want to do, as opposed to something that I have to do. And that for me has actually been, that's new. Even for all the, I mean, I've been doing this now for, you know, close to a year and a half, and I've been in the low carb lifestyle space for, you know, 5-6 years now. And even then, like exercise, I always tell people exercise was not that big of a deal. I'm starting to rethink that, and I'm realizing that actually exercise is actually incredibly important with my own personal journey. Again, using myself as an experiment, so to speak. The diet is really the fundamental, but exercise actually is important. But I always had that attitude of exercise was something that kind of had to be done rather than could be done.
Oh, yeah, I like it.
And now, I don't know, something's just kind of switched in me and I don't know what it is. But we've started doing this like calisthenics program, which is, I've always found exercise super boring. And I think that's maybe why it always, especially cardio, like running, just like it always felt like such a punishment to me. And you know, I never found it interesting. Weights a little bit different, but I don't know, this program, like, we're just really enjoying it. It's something that I'm doing at home with my wife, and even like my kids kind of get involved, you know, accidentally or on purpose. I mean, our 10-month-old's just like crawling around under our feet while we're trying to do like push-ups and stuff. You try to do like crunches and he just comes and sits on your lap and
it's
just extra weight. It's fine.
Exactly.
But we're kind of like getting the whole family involved now. And so it's something that's actually genuinely become enjoyable. And yeah, it's really changed my mindset. Like I come home now and I'm making time for it, because I want to do it rather than because I have to do it. And then if I don't want to do it that one night, like, no, okay, I just won't do it. You know, it's
You're not going to berate yourself or think you failed or see, that's the thing. That's the total shift that I'm helping people get, because that's not what most people have unless they address it.
It's not. And it's not what I used to have. And I don't know what changed in me. I don't know how that happened. And I wish I did. I mean, maybe you've got some insights. I was going to ask before I went off on that kind of tangent slightly. I mean, how do you get people to kind of see that these things are something that they can do rather than have to do? I mean, what is the secret there? Is there a secret?
Well, I don't know if I could give away all my secrets. No, well, I do think it's what happened to me. And I can see it happen in my clients and I see what happens in you. I mean, essentially we're getting insight. I mean, insight is we get a new belief and a new thinking and we change the way we're looking at something. And I start, you know, with all my clients showing them that how they're saying something is just one option. You know, we tend to have these beliefs around things, I am this or I can't do, and it looks concrete and we have, you know, our brain, the way it's wired, searches for evidence of that everywhere and we think it's a fact. Even personality, I delve into that as well and poke holes, you know, in that as well, because I believe that's all made up too. So when you start to question it, when you start to poke holes in it and you start to see that anything that I look at, you know, I can change the way I want to see it. So I always use this example of like my considering cup, which is one of the tools that I give to my clients to help them challenge their beliefs. So, for example, you know, if they came to me and they were afraid of eating red meat because they believed that it was bad for them. So I would show them something like this so they could put that belief in here. And instead of following their mind that instantly wants to dismiss it, because that's what the mind does, we have a belief, it's not interested in you changing that because that's risky. You know, I'll say, okay, let's just put it in here and let's look at some information and some evidence and, you know, give yourself time to challenge that. And then you can come back to it and make your own decision around it. But essentially what I'm showing people is that everything's option, everything's on the table. And the way we see anything is up to us. So if we have these habits like I used to, like I was very negative, very similar, everything was a punishment. Everything came from a place of lack. Everything came from a place of I have to do this stuff, otherwise I'm not a good human or whatever it was. If we challenge all of that, then we get to see that, hey, I actually don't have to believe the thinking that I have around that. And the minute we decide that it's optional, something else will come through. And it just gradually shifts over time. And if we have a deep belief around our worth being tied to our fitness, our weight, that takes a little bit of time because we've got to really get the subconscious to come along with that. So for part of the time, we often sit in this disconnect. So our mind wants something, right? We have this intellectual understanding of, okay, I want to not be punishing myself. I want to be able to love exercise, but my subconscious belief isn't quite there yet. So through action, through still choosing in alignment with a new belief, eventually it does change. And it's just like then we wake, like I know we've used that word a couple of times, but you wake up to just seeing that anything's possible. And then, you know, when you understand that the thinking that we have, like that's probably the biggest part of my work because, you know, I've had clients that have been eating everything right, been doing, you know, all these pillars of health, but they've got, you know, very dysregulated nervous systems. They're highly stressed. And a lot of that comes to the state of mind. So I work on the state of mind, which is our thinking that's being filtered through our body. And, you know, when we see what that's coming from our own thinking as well. And again, we get curious about it all and we start poking holes and questioning it all. Then a lot of the beliefs we have fall away, and then we get to a place like you've just kind of said, where we're like, "Hey, it feels easier, it feels more peaceful, it feels like it's coming from a more loving place than a hard lack and punishment place."
Yeah, no, very, very powerful. I mean, yeah, I wish I just knew the secret, you know, for getting people to that point. I mean, maybe what you're saying really is there is no secret. It's just it takes time and it takes understanding, you know, with your kind of healthcare professional, but also with yourself, and just that kind of, I don't know, level of acceptance with yourself, forgiveness for yourself, not punishing yourself, not berating yourself, as you said. And that's certainly something I try and work on with my patients. I mean, I probably don't have enough time to really kind of go into those levels. And I guess this is where someone like yourself as a health coach actually is really fantastic for the patient to actually help to get them to that point. Because as doctors, you know, we can tell people this is what you need to do. And I mean, we all know it anyway. It's just, how do we actually motivate people? And that's something I've always struggled with as a doctor, as a professional. How do I actually motivate people to do what they need to do? Because they come back and they know what they need to do. Mm-hmm. You know, none of what I say is rocket science to anybody, you know, and we all know it. It's just, how do we get to actually motivate them? And some people, you know, it's quite easy. Other people, it just seems to just not happen. But certainly I think looking back retrospectively, yeah, I mean, I reckon the people that do the best, probably my patients, are the ones that just kind of just accept it. They just kind of intuitive. They just roll with it. And yeah, they're not actually beating themselves up.
Yeah, it's so important, that part of it, that acceptance of where we've come. It takes people a varying time to feel that acceptance. You know, intellectually our mind just kind of doesn't want to go there if we haven't gone there for most of our life. And that's a lot of what I say. You know, you've been doing the habits you've been doing for many, many years now. You cannot expect that to change overnight. It is a process. But it's like anyone that masters something, we have to master it with practice. And sometimes we'll do it well, sometimes we won't, but we have to show up and just give it a go, and we'll get better at it, and it will feel really uncomfortable at the start, and we won't necessarily feel like doing it. But when we have real clarity around, I talk about towards and away moves. So everything we're doing is a choice, and it's either taking us towards where we want to go or away from where we want to go. And underneath all of that is a whole lot of thoughts and feelings, you know, and urges probably leading up to that choice that we're going to make. So the more we become aware of that, the more we get to sit in a place of, well, yeah, that's how I've traditionally gone. That's my old habit. Is it serving me? Is where I want to go? Well, no, it's not. So I have to make a new choice. And the brain will just fight, you know, tooth and nail to stop you doing that. But again, when you understand it, and that's what I talk about, you know, most of what people think is wrong with them is just simply a misunderstanding. And when we understand it from the human experience side of things, people feel a lot kinder to themselves because, hey, I'm not broken. Hey, I'm not undisciplined. I just didn't understand really how to get beyond my mind.
Yeah. I mean, that brings up I want to talk about something which I want to come back to. How you kind of alluded on it a little bit earlier when you spoke a bit about social media and this kind of this ideal image of people and so on. I mean, do you find that image, aesthetics, cosmetics, you know, weight especially, do you find that that's a big driving force behind the negative emotions, or do you think there's something else that's driving a lot of it?
Well, I think it's probably multifactorial. I think if we have had conditioning in our upbringing that has looked like we have to look a certain way, you know, women particularly often have been innocently told by, you know, people around them that they have to be a certain way to be accepted. I think, you know, we have to understand everything we kind of take in is all about our acceptance, our love and our safety. And, you know, we carry with us a lot of conditioning. That looks like if I don't weigh a certain number, you know, like the scale, classic hopping on the scale, right? Feel really great, doing really well, got a lot of energy, hop on and, oh, my God, it's not changed or it's gone up. I know. So this thing that we've put a whole lot of rules around and thoughts around is now dictating how I feel about myself. And it's just, you know, again, it's that's the whole concept of thought and beliefs and all that sort of stuff. I think there's probably many reasons why that happens, but I think also keeping in mind that we are tribal creatures living in a modern world, and our tribe with social media is massive now. So I get my clients to kind of notice their mind when they're scrolling. So notice how often does it compare? How often does it say, oh, I'm not good enough, I don't look like that? That's all what the mind's designed to do, because it's saying, hey, are you going to be kicked out from the tribe? But who are these people that you're looking at? Do you even know them? Probably not. So I think it's a double, you know, we have to be really aware of who we are as a species, and understand that most of what the mind says to us is not really worthy of our attention. It's trying to keep us safe. But, you know, really what it does is just kind of keep us small, because that is safe. You know, I'm safer if I'm on the bench, you know, this proverbial bench in life. If I don't put myself out with an opinion, or if I don't show who I am, because I risk being, you know, criticized or ridiculed or made fun of, well, I know now that that's all about the person saying it. It's not about me, and I'm safe regardless. I don't know if that really answered your question.
No, I mean, I think it does. Tribes, I think, is something that's very interesting. And because I've, you know, done like carnivore diet, and I'm very publicly, you know, kind of came out and said, you know, carnivore diet's amazing, absolutely incredible, you know, everyone should do it, blah, 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 of course. And then 12 months later, I'm saying, there might be some issues, and maybe sugar's not terrible in some small quantities, and, you know, and so on. And so I've kind of seen that very tribal aspect of the diet culture.
Yeah.
And I think I've
really, isn't it? I mean, really, any culture. I mean, that's just, if you look anywhere, you'll see that essence of tribal, you know, mentality. And then what people, you know, it's so easy for people to say, I don't see you, Dr. Suresh, as a human. I see you as your opinion. And then I can throw crap at you because you disagree with me. And that, again, it's all innocent. We don't have to do that.
But people like yeah, people like being in their tribe. And I think, it probably is just a deep rooted psychological evolutionary thing, you know, don't kind of step out of the waters, you know, don't get off the fence and so on, because, you know, otherwise then you're unsafe territory. You might get kicked out and left alone. But I do wonder how much that plays often into people's kind of internal culture within themselves as well, with diet and lifestyle, you know, that they don't want to be left out in the cold. They don't want to be doing something different. And so they just, you know, they follow the crowd as well, even if it's not working for them, you know, and then they just kind of beating themselves up because it's not working for them, even though it works for other people. I do wonder how much that plays into things as well. And actually, if we could learn to maybe just take a little step back and then maybe just, I don't know, have more tribes, be part of more tribes, you know, like be part of low carb, be part of keto, be part of carnivore, you know, and just kind of, yeah, maybe on the edge of all of them. But I don't know, I'm thinking like a Venn diagram or something with all these overlapping tribes with someone in the middle.
Well, that's, you know, it. It's more, to me, it's more the human tribe. That,
isn't it? Yeah.
We have so many more similarities than we do differences in everything, you know, for sure. And people lose sight of that in their bid to be, you know, a part of some collective kind of tribe. And I see it all the time with my clients, you know, particularly around not wanting to drink or not wanting to say dessert, you know, no to dessert. They don't want to have that anymore. But in the face of social pressure, they don't know how to actually choose themselves. They feel that they'll be ridiculed if they choose something different. And I think you could put that in any, you know, landscape. And if the essence of that to me is that you're not choosing you. You don't know who you are. So there's a part of you that is used to being, you know, doing what others want, and saying yes or no to others based on what they want and for fear. You know, and this is part of the healing. This is part of thriving. You cannot thrive if you are constantly saying no to yourself and yes to other people.
Yeah. I think a lot of what I do, honestly, I mean, we spoke about, you know, people, they come to me, they know what to do. They all know what to do. It just, don't eat rubbish, you know, do a bit of exercise, get some sleep, and you're like 80, 90% of the way there.
Yeah.
But I do think a lot of people come to me, they just kind of want someone to just say it's okay to not be perfect. And you can see the like the visible sigh of relief. They kind of just melt into the chair like, oh, thank God, you know.
Yeah.
I don't have to be perfect all the time. But this kind of ties into what I wanted to come back to and how much you kind of maybe see this as well. And really in part of this whole conversation and kind of chasing this like 1% as well. You know, like the carnivores chasing this like zero sugar, the low carbers, you know, like you can't have any sugar at all, like all sugar's evil. You know, I see people arguing over different brands of which cream to put in their coffee, and it's like 0.1 grams per 100 mils difference, and then they're putting 5 mils or 10 mils into their coffee, like one teaspoon or something. It's like it's 0.01 grams of sugar difference, and then people are arguing about it. I mean, how much do you think that, again, ties into this, I don't know, paradigm of kind of beating ourselves up, punishing ourselves and not just accepting ourselves, this like chasing this 1%, these minuscule, you know, kind of things. Do you think people are do that? I guess my question might be, do you think people do that because they have issues around their kind of mentality around themselves, food, diet, lifestyle, etc.? Or do they have those issues because they're chasing that 1%, or is it just both causing either?
Maybe. I don't, I mean, I guess I'd only be sort of making, you know, assumptions around that. But I think what I've seen is that we tend to do the outer work before we've done the inner work. And we think that changing our diet and being perfect in our diet is going to bring us this sense of peace that we're searching for. If we haven't done that inner work and we don't know who we are, you know, we'll be forever chasing that 1%, but we'll never get it. We'll never find it, because as soon as we do, our mind will say, no, it wasn't that. It's got to be something else.
So right.
There's
on a stick.
Yes. And I think, you know, you think two people here. So there's Suresh and Tracy. And, you know, Tracy hasn't done the inner work, and she's constantly searching for that 1% and that biohacking coming from this place of, if I get that, I'll be okay. Suresh has done the inner work, knows who he is, and he is still doing the same sort of stuff on the outside. So to people watching, the same behavior is the same. but he's doing it from a place of fun because he knows who he is. He knows not to take himself too seriously. He knows he's not perfect, but he's just having a whole lot of fun exploring it. So do you think there is a difference in what the mitochondria is reading and the signaling they're getting from that those two people? I think it's dramatic.
Yeah, I think it's going to be.
Yeah.
I think it really is. And I think, yeah, acceptance, I think that's probably the key word of the podcast, you know, today is really acceptance. And I've been on my own journey with that. And these are things that I'm going to talk about in that conference. You know, I'm talking about navigating fad diets, really as my own journey. And that's why I think I kind of jumped at the chance to come and talk at it when you offered, because yeah, I think putting our own stories out there as healthcare professionals, as people who have been through these things, I think it is just so powerful, because there's, for every one of us, there's a million people who are exactly the same, mm-hmm. who have been through exactly the same, who are looking for the same answers. And, you know, to hear someone who has that experience, not necessarily the answer, but just the experience, and that it's kind of, you can come out the other side, and, you know, I think that's just so incredibly powerful. So I absolutely jumped at the chance, yeah, to come and talk. These conferences though, like they're a lot of effort, Tracy. I mean, one thing I wanted to ask you was, you know, why go through the effort?
Why not? Because you know what I said before, you know, like the analogy of, I've done the work, I know who I am. Now for me, everything I do is just about enrichment, right? My work isn't on. So this falls over and everyone decide cancels on me the last minute, or it's a miserable failure. Imagine no one bought a ticket. So what? At least I've given it a go. And if I can put something together to give people the opportunity to feel more hopeful and to see things that they might be able to take to enrich their life, why wouldn't I? Like 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I never would have done it, because my mind would have said, oh my gosh, you can't do that. You know, you can possibly put that together. And I managed to do it because of that.
You're doing it. And I mean, maybe I should clarify, because people are probably thinking like, God, he sounds like such a dick saying something like that. No, I don't mean it in a rude way. What I kind of really meant to say, I probably stopped too early in that sentence, was, you know, you're obviously very passionate about teaching people and going, you know, putting these conferences on. I've spoken to obviously yourself, I've spoken to other people who've put in conferences on. It's a lot of effort. Like it really is. People don't realize how much effort these things are, how much work goes into them. But you are just incredibly passionate about just getting this kind of message out and helping people and helping them to understand themselves. And I think that's just really incredibly powerful.
Yeah, and if I didn't have that deep passion, I wouldn't do it, because, you know, these things are not about the money, you know. It's not about me making a profit on any of this, of course. It's about an opportunity and to have a platform for people to learn who are curious, you know, like with anything, Suresh. I mean, if people have to want this stuff, first of all, they've got to be curious enough to want to listen and to hear something that may be different to what they believe. And, you know, what an opportunity to, I don't know, I just think it's just, I'm passionate about it. I'm passionate of showing people that there's hope, and I do love it. And I love it. And I love the fact that there is so many people like yourself just doing such incredible work in the space. And not everybody is an organizer. Not everybody has the capacity to bring people together. And I kind of feel like it's a bit of my calling in a lot of ways. I have, you know, so many great relationships with people who I know are awesome, like, you know, yourself. And if I can ask and put something together, then, you know, I'll do the work's not hard. You know, it's just all part of doing it and gifting people with this opportunity. So
yeah, no, I mean, let's talk a little bit about the conference, and I'll let you kind of talk through it, you know, and when it is, where it is, etc. And while I bring it up on the screen and just kind of show people the agenda and so on,
and look at those faces. I mean, I do feel so lucky that all of those people said yes. Oh, shocked you said yes.
I'm highlighting myself.
I asked you, I didn't actually expect you to say yes. But see, I'm not afraid of people saying no to me now. That's another thing, because I know that that's okay. It doesn't mean anything about me. But I asked the people that I thought, you know, would be come together and make a great conference. So, yeah, there's all the topics. I'm actually starting it. I have a very special guest, Professor Tim Noakes. He's not there in person, but he's put together an opening for the event, which is just lovely. He's the epitome of lived experience, right? And I totally love the man. I'll be opening it up with this, exactly what we've kind of been talking about. How do you overcome this knowing doing gap? Because I agree with you. You know, I'll say to virtually every one of my clients, you know what you need to be doing, don't you? So let's learn. Let's look at what those things are that are in the way of that. I'm going to be opening with that, and then you know we've got talks around finding yourself in menopause. Menopause doesn't have to be this horrible experience. I've got a talk from a health coach looking at all the tricks the food industry plays. Which is fascinating, have a gentleman coming in helping us to connect, and calm our body through functional breathing and our nervous system. And that's going to be a practical workshop. So the room in Oakley, I've booked out a whole center that we have access to, all of us just in that one place. There's no one else going to be there. And there's going to be smaller rooms there for people who want to, talk to someone like yourself, maybe have a private conversation around something that's interesting for them. Obviously, you, Suresh, talking about your experience around navigating fad diets. Who hasn't been there? We've all been there. Like, we want to get off that, obviously. Mm. Hopefully, you'll have some great insights around that. Fatigue, something, again, everything, all of the people talking have a very common, theme guiding them and directing them, and that passion to just share from their lived experience. Of course, Dr. Peter Bruckner coming, he's going to open day two and share, his incredible lived experience in life, and I don't know, he'll show up and share something that's going to be entertaining and interesting and insightful. And psychotherapist Natalie West talking about how, we don't have to believe basically the stories of our mind. Lots of stuff. Fibromyalgia, resilience, and then I'm closing it with my very, very personal belief that if we don't know who we are, then we risk not living the life that we want, and values are what helps us to step into choosing who, for ourselves in the face of when others want us to choose differently.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm super looking forward to the conference. Always great to present at these things. I think it's such a privilege to be asked, and it's such a privilege to go and talk to people who genuinely want to learn and improve their health and so on. But it's also just, it's such a privilege to just go and hear the other speakers and learn from them as well. And I think that's where, as a speaker, yeah, the real value is actually in listening to the other people, actually. Yeah. So I'm super happy that you invited me. It's obviously in about a month, just over. At the time of recording. So it's available. Yeah, it's 22nd, 23rd of June. And it's in person only. It's not going online, is it, Tracy?
Not at this stage, not unless some miracle happens. But no, it is in person. And, the in-person element is, how good is this, right? But in-person's next level.
It truly is.
I know. Not everyone like can said, come, but.
Yeah, the ability to just, kind of pull people aside and just ask them some questions as well. And I'm sure people will, and anyone listening that's coming, I will be more than happy to just talk all evening if people want to. Otherwise, because I'm flying down to Melbourne, I'm just there for the weekend. So my family aren't with me. They're staying up here in Queensland. So I'll be free, all evening basically to just talk to people if they want. It's going to be really fun. Tickets available. I'll put the link in the episode description. There's only a few tickets left, I understand now, which will probably all disappear in the next month or so, I imagine. Tracy, it's been amazing talking to you. As always, thank you so much for coming on the show. Any parting words for people? And I'll make sure I'll put all your Instagrams and everything in the episode description as well, so people can go follow you.
Parting words. I asked my guests that question too, and it always stops them. Hard, now it? I kind of understand. I just don't know. I guess my parting words would have to come back to the fact that there is always hope. If you're sitting in a place at the moment where you don't feel that there is hope, that life is just, you know, a struggle, and you are trying to just get through each day, and the concept of thriving looks so far into you, please know that it is possible, that it is there, it's available to you, and there are people that can help you to get that in your life. And, you know, again, I bring it back to the fact that we're here for such a short time. I mean, it's so cliche, but it's so true. And our mind's kind of always saying, oh, I'll wait till next week, or I'll wait till next year, or, you know, and then one day we wake up and like, oh my God, I'm nearly 51. I'm like, where has the last 30 years gone? It's now. We're living now. We've only got now. And there's so much we can see around making it as thriving as we want to make it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And well, thank you so much for having me, and thank you so much for being a part of the conference. I can't wait to hang out with you over the weekend.
You're so welcome. Like I said, honestly, Tracy, the pleasure is all mine, and it really is a privilege to be asked to come and talk at these kind of events and to hear all the other amazing guests. So I'll make sure to put your link for the conference in the episode description so everyone can go and buy tickets there. Thank you so much for coming on the show today, Tracy, giving up your valuable time on the weekend. I really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Suresh. It was great.
You're welcome. And thank you guys for giving up your valuable time and listening to this episode of the Meet Medic podcast. We'll see you in the next one. All right.